Welcome to the Independent RX Forum with Pharmacy Times and the National Community Pharmacists Association, the leading advocate and business education resource for America's independent pharmacists.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the podcast. My name is Jack Mosloom, and I run the communications operation for NCPA. And I'm very happy to be joined today with one of our more active guests and a real pioneer, Dr. Kathy Campbell, and Bree Mars, who runs our education programming. And if you don't know, NCPA has a really strong education program, many different opportunities for our members and others to learn things that help them grow their businesses. And in some ways, that's never been more important because the PBMs have been so aggressive, the reimbursements keep going down. We know that our members are constantly looking for ways to expand their scope, to be more important to their patients, to find new ways to help their patients. And one of the more creative programs that we've been offering in the last couple of years comes from Dr. Kathy Campbell. So Dr. Kathy, how are you? And thank you for joining us.
I'm great. Thank you for having me. It's always a privilege to participate with NCPA and to speak to the membership. It's a great group of people who are out there doing their best for their patients every day.
Well, let's talk about doing their best for their patients every day. You've got a program, Creating Health, a pharmacist-led lifestyle. And I know that many of our members have seen that, you know, on some of our promotional communications. Some of them have attended your live events at convention. But it's really important that we get this exposed to a much bigger number of our members, because it really is a way for them to help themselves at the same time they're helping their patients. So why don't you introduce us to the concept and talk to us about really what you're doing.
Well, I'm an independent pharmacist. I've been a clinical community pharmacist for 30 years in my town. It's a real privilege to have had that kind of longevity, and I'm taking care of now my fourth generation of families. And I don't want these people to be sick. And I really think, I am a health provider first and a pharmacist second. I utilize my skill set and my training as a pharmacist to provide health to my patients. And over the last 30 years, there's just been this shift in the business of healthcare where it became less and less about people being well. And, you know, it used to be I didn't have to worry about the financial model. I could just be the best pharmacist I could be, and the margins and the actual business structure of pharmacy was satisfactorily reimbursed me for that, right? But I also was very disenchanted with the fact that my patients were taking more and more medicines, and they either weren't getting better, or I actually saw them being harmed by some of the medications. And that didn't set well with me either. I didn't want to participate in providing a drug that had some benefit, but actually had some big harm. And I tried to reconcile that clinically. And as I started trying to provide whatever information to my patients for them to actually be well, I started looking at the other components of why medications work. Why are we sick in the first place? And then the added crunch of business was, how do you be a pharmacy and not fill prescriptions? Because that was where the broken business model was heading.
Right.
And I said, well, I'm going to help my patients not need medications, and they're going to pay me to do that. Well, it just so happens that lifestyle, quote unquote, medicine is a piece of the puzzle. And what is that? Well, that's everything else other than the medicines. The fact that we have 7 out of 10 Americans needing a prescription means that pharmacists are seeing these people. But the question is, why are people so sick? And I started looking at the components of that. And it's not one question, but I actually think it's a cultural issue that involves many different facets. Okay.
Yep.
So about 6 years ago, I started creating a health coaching program to help people with all those facets. And I marketed it and aimed towards weight loss. But the reality is what we were doing was helping them find those fundamentals of health that if we got right, their bodies work better. Okay. And, you know, I did that for several years and I got the attention of some of my peers at NCPA and around the country. And they're like, Kathy, teach us what we're doing, what you're doing. And at the same time, I'm seeing clinical outcomes that blow away results from any kind of medications. I mean, right. You just can't take an A1C from 13.5 to 6.5 in 12 weeks and not question what medicine is missing. I mean, there's no drug that can do that. But when you put these other components of stress management and you put in sleep and you put movement and you put nutrition, all of a sudden the body just works better. And so I've been doing this for about 6 years and have been asked by my peers, help us do this, right? And so in trying to figure that out, I created, all right, how do you eat this elephant? How do I teach people what I've kind of gleaned over 30 years? And creating health was exactly that. I partnered with NCPA about 2.5 years ago, and they basically pulled the course out of me. And we created a course that is the breadth of understanding of the foundations that it takes to have a healthy functioning body. They call that lifestyle medicine. That is the term that is recognized in medicine. And so we've got a six and a half, seven hour CE course live and on digital that is very shallow in depth, but very broad in scope. So by the end of the course, you really have the components of what it takes to help people have bodies that work. Okay. And so that's the creating health. And that's why we called it creating health. And the pharmacist is so exquisitely trained already before you've ever stepped in to this realm. Having a pharmacy degree has you have the clinical and scientific and chemistry knowledge to be able to dive into this realm.
And you have access to the patients too, right? Because pharmacists see their patients much more frequently than do doctors or really any other kind of healthcare provider. So let me ask you this, and this interests me, it must have been kind of a cultural shock in itself for you to talk to your patients about this and for them to actually start viewing you in this kind of new way. How did that go initially? And did you learn anything along the way?
Yes and no. So these patients you got to get, I had known them for 20 plus years anyway. So they knew that Kathy was going to stand there as she was dispensing the medications and ask him what they were eating. They knew they were going to have a conversation with Kathy about vitamin D levels. They knew that they were to bring their cholesterol readings to Kathy so she could help them understand it. So I had this pretty engaged relationship with my patients. And what changed was, here's what really changed. Because I had the financial pressures that we've all experienced, I had to find a new way to package what I knew into a product that I could sell. And I was challenged to do that. So what was very different was the marketing of Kathy, the marketing of Dr. Kathy, and the marketing of a 12-week program that I could coach people in to provide a new level of health. I had one patient that was so great. She goes, you know, Kathy, doctors tell us to do all this stuff, but nobody actually helps us do it. Okay. And so I changed my job every day from one of being a dispenser to being one of somebody who sits down in a room with a patient and strategizes with them how to implement these strategies in their unique life. I actually help them discover how to implement. Okay. And then I had to market the heck out of it. Now, most, believe it or not, a lot of the people who have engaged in my program were never my patients. And that's because the marketing actually crafted the message such that they saw something very different.
So you brought in a whole new cohort of patients from this.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I had one patient say, you know, I never thought of a pharmacist for this, but it makes so much sense. You know, they've got people down at the vitamin shop helping them with whatever they're helping them with. They've got people who are maybe helping them with nutrition, but don't know anything about medications that they're on and the impact of that. And so to have somebody that could coordinate all of this and give them good, sound counsel for their unique situation, they engaged in it and then they got value in it. And I think what I'm most proud of is I have people still engaged in doing the program 3 to 5 years later. So they're still on that path that we created with the program.
The same patients with whom you engaged 5 years ago are still with you now seeking the same kind of counsel.
Yeah, you know, it changes from the 12-week program to maybe a quarterly check-in. And right. Sometimes they don't even do that. I just see them out there, you know, filling up on their supplements or coming in to just say, hey, or they might have a question about something else. And all of a sudden I hadn't seen them and they're down another 20 pounds or they're, you know, going off and traveling or doing some things. Because ultimately for me, again, I'm a health provider, right?
Right.
I want people to have great lives. And I know that health is a function. It helps that. And so that's what I'm most proud that there's some longevity and, you know, people that lost 40 pounds 3 years ago still have that 40 pounds off.
Yeah. I think the point, Kathy, that you hit on just a minute ago about pharmacists, you know, the patient that said, I've never thought of my pharmacist as a person to help me here, but it makes so much sense. That's a key point that differentiates this program and what you teach from, say, a Noom or some other, you know, thing out there that folks may use. You've got a doctor that's helping you along the way, that knows your medication, that knows all of these things. And, you know, would you say that your pharmacy is a place where people who don't know where to look turn for health counsel?
Every single day, where they, especially through COVID, we are the ones that they know they can call and get some counsel. That some of it's a paid counsel, a paid consult, absolutely. Some of it is, where do I go for this? You know, so absolutely, we are a trusted resource in our community. And it's, you know, the last 2 years, that's been actually very valuable for a lot of people in a lot of different ways. I even get doctors calling me for help. All right, Kathy, what do you think about this? And that's what we want. We're an integrative part of a providing health to a patient. That's what pharmacy always has been. And I'm just a huge stand that's who we are. And I want the world to see us that way. I want patients to see us that way and be able to utilize that. I want providers to see us that way. And I want fellow practitioners to see us as a critical piece of this puzzle.
Dr. Kathy, in addition to the transformation that you've seen in your patients who have undergone the counseling and continue to do it, what kind of changes have you noticed in your business? Because I know that lots of our members who are listening to this are thinking exactly that question. Why should I do this?
It's, well, lots of different things. I don't want a nefarious business entity to manipulate my life. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm just a little ornery that way. I want to be able to provide a business and a healthcare strategy. I want to practice the way I want to practice. I'm just ornery enough. I want that autonomy. And having a cash-based initiative,
right,
having the kind of cash flow that this has injected into my pharmacy gives me the freedom because I have the margin to be able to make business decisions. Okay. Could I have more? Yes. Am I still challenged by DIR fees and all this other stuff? Absolutely. But I know without a doubt that I have clinical freedom that I would not have if I had a standard dispensing practice currently. So it has given me cash flow, it's given me autonomy, and it's created the kind of win-win and providing health for my patients that allows me to continue for that.
Bree, this sounds incredible to me. How important is this for our members to really get with it? I mean, this sounds like it could be transformational for an awful lot of members who are out there right now thinking, Jesus, what am I going to do with these PBMs and my reimbursements keep going down? I need to fix my business. This sounds like it's part of a plan.
Yeah, Jack, absolutely. I think that, you know, a lot of pharmacies out there, a lot of our members are looking for, you know, how do I move away from insurance dependent business?
Right.
And, you know, creating health, it really builds on some of those fundamentals that you learned in pharmacy school, the things you haven't thought about in years, or maybe it never clicked, and connecting the dots so that you have the confidence to go out and do what Kathy's done, or something like what Kathy's done. I think it's a huge opportunity for pharmacies to kind of look at a cash pay business and see if this is something that works for them. I know, Kathy, it certainly worked for you, right?
Yeah, I can't imagine doing anything else. I really can't. I mean, I wonder at what point I will, keep decreasing dispensing. I've purposely shrunk my dispensing side because I could not lose money over there. Okay. As long as I'm creating health, I mean, my job and my mission as a healthcare provider is to provide health. And I can provide health and make money selling a cast iron pan. Actually, it's a win-win. I can sell a vitamin D supplement and have a profitability and have reliability in the product and provide health as well as create the kind of margin that I need to be able to be there for my patients. The reality is, if I'm not there, if the pharmacists on this call aren't there, they can't provide health. And we have a real crisis in our society right now. If you haven't looked around, we're sick. It's a crisis. And it is I just got back from a conference. In 1980, 5% of children under the age of 18 dealt with a chronic disease. You know, PBMs don't keep me up at night, but the fact that 80% of our children today under the age of 80% deal with a chronic disease, that keeps me up at night. We have some real need to get some things way more correctly, and more medications, I don't think is going to get us there. I want to find a way to create a level of health for the future generations. And I think pharmacists are perfectly suited, perfectly trained to be able to get these foundations of health out there in the world and start helping people be well.
Doctor, if you could think of one patient who would be the poster person for this program, somebody whom you've helped whose transformation was really breathtaking, without disclosing, of course, anything, tell us a little bit about that story.
Boy, that's a tough one, because there's been quite a few. I mean, in the course, we talk about Gina, and she's a longtime patient, longtime relationships, and she's had quite a journey. And she basically, at the beginning of the course, we talk about where she started. And at the end of the course, she ended up running the Boston Marathon. And she had lots of players that contributed to that. But she really, it's a journey. Health is a journey. Life is a journey. And And I encourage my patients to have this team approach. And, you know, if you're putting any chemistry in your body and you don't have a chemistry expert, you're missing out a key player on your team. I will tell you something that happened today. I'm going to tell you something that happened today and why pharmacy needs to be at this table. So I had a consult this morning with a nutritionist who brought a patient of hers to me. So a little bit more of a backstory is back in last year, I took on a mentoring program with a PhD nutritionist, and it was me and 15 nutritionists that are very high level nutritionists around the nation. And I just felt compelled to be on this mentoring group. And what was very interesting is it was very clear that pharmacists can do basic nutrition, but nutritionists cannot do pharmacy. Okay. Because there's these very complex cases that these nutritionists were actually really doing a great job of tackling, but there was this whole bucket of drugs that they just had to kind of overlook or not even, or worse, try to fix. That's worse, right? Because they don't know what they don't know. So this morning I get a kind of last night, an emergency call. Can you help me with this case? This is a 23-year-old young woman who has a chronic history of debilitating ulcerative colitis and all this other stuff, and suicidal tendencies and depression. And basically at the end of, for about 9 months ago, she was put on a high dose Abilify, and she's gained 20 pounds every month for the last 9 months.
Wow.
Yeah. So she's 200, almost 300 pounds. Directly related to the drug. Okay. Right. And then we look at her nutrition, her blood work, and it's basic blood work. And she's incredibly malnourished based on the blood work, which I kind of think was part of the reason her brain wasn't working. Okay. And so here's this lovely nutritionist who's trying her hardest to help this young woman, but she has no concept,
right? She couldn't
of these medicines. And, yeah. You know, many times, unfortunately, that they think we just got to take him off everything. And I'm like, oh, that could upset an apple cart, you know? So it's what they don't know, they don't know. But what was very clear at the end of that mentoring course is they actually said to me, oh my gosh, Kathy, where do we find pharmacists like you? Where can we get help with these buckets of chemicals, these drugs? Because every patient that we're catching in our nutritionist lair that are coming to us have these huge complexities that we don't even know how to look at. And that is a piece, a huge value of what pharmacy can bring to this integrative space is our knowledge of one, how they work, but why people need them.
Right.
And then how can we optimize the outcome and minimize the negatives? And so there is a huge realm. And, you know, creating health is the foundational approach to start thinking that way, right?
Right.
And I think you can ask Bree, the people that have done it pretty much across the board have been, okay, we get it.
Like a light switch, right?
Yes, we get what you're talking about. Now, they're not always just running out the next day, but I've had many pharmacists from different walks, from the VA, from all kinds of different practices, did go out and start having different conversations with their patients the very next time they saw patients after taking the course. So creating health is your first entree to start thinking very differently about this role we have within this integrative. And let me tell you, if you have a pharmacy degree, you've got what it takes.
Absolutely. What have you heard, Bree, from our members who have been through the program?
Yeah, I've heard that they, you know, have really gained a lot from what Dr. Kathy has shared and have been able to put it back into their practice. I mean, you know, she really does connect the dots. And for me, it's those, you know, small things like, you know, Kathy, you talk about in the course how magnesium is a cofactor in the production of melatonin. So if you have a patient that can't sleep, you should be looking at their magnesium level, and maybe that should be supplemented. That's something that you don't think about on a day-to-day basis, but you really connect those dots between what you know, or maybe remember that you learned at one time in pharmacy school, and connect it to how you can help your patients now. So, Jack, to your question, I've heard from a ton of pharmacists who have gone through Dr. Kathy's program on Creating Health and have really been able to help their patients and find a way to do it, and frankly, to monetize that service in their pharmacy.
Right. It's very exciting. It's from I'm a lay person, obviously. I'm sure the listeners can tell. But it sounds to me like in the war on illness, the pharmacist can be the secret weapon. I'm proud that we're offering the program. It's great to have Dr. Kathy leading it. Dr. Kathy, we have a few minutes left, and if you don't mind me changing gears just for a moment. A little while ago in the conversation, you talked about nefarious business interests. let's talk for a minute about DIR, because this has been our biggest, of course, advocacy priority for a long time. Recently, CMS introduced a proposed rule on which we're currently working. We're going to be asking our members to submit comments very soon. We continue to push Congress to rein in these PBMs. We've been very active in the courts. Of course, we had a massive victory early last year, allowing states to regulate PBMs. But tell us a little bit about, you know, from your perspective, it's one thing from our members to hear about DIR from us. It's one thing for members of Congress to hear about DIR from us. But how is it affecting your business, your patients? How important is it that we slay this dragon?
Well, it's kind of like, how important is it that your grandchildren be healthy? The reality is, if we don't have healthcare, happens between a practitioner and a patient.
Right.
Period.
Not a PB.
Now, what the problem is, there's multiple layers that we're having to pay for in the midst. And what's happening because of the DIR, because of the cash flow issues, because of the lack of profitability, the practitioner is going away.
Right.
Okay. And the practitioner is forced to become an employee of other businesses that don't always have that fundamental, same kind of fundamental missions. You know, when a patient has a problem with my pharmacy, it's me. That's the relationship.
Yeah.
I have a real need to take care of that patient on multiple levels. If I'm a business entity, I have other servants. I have other masters to serve, stockholders, all this other stuff. And so these DIR fees are literally extinguishing my ability to be there as a provider to take care of a patient. Okay.
Yeah.
And when that happens, the health of our entire nation is threatened. And you could argue that the decline in our nation's health in some ways has been a function of the decline of those relationships between the patient and the provider.
Right.
Okay. And the DIR fees are just one more way for them to slice the competition away, to strategically separate the patient and the provider. Okay. And it has to be handled. And the fact that the federal government actually sponsors 50% of all prescriptions that are paid for, it's really almost unbelievable that we're in the position we're in. But we are. And the beautiful thing is that there are now, in a bipartisan manner, really bold legislators who are willing to stand up and look at this.
Yes.
And it's critical, not just for the financial stability, but it's for the fundamental health of our nation. is why this needs to happen.
I think after COVID, well, I wish it was after COVID. I think since COVID, more people, including more people in Washington and the state capitals, have recognized the central importance of the pharmacy as a hub of healthcare. I mean, you and your peers have delivered, you know, 200 million doses of the vaccine so far and counting. So this has been, Dr. Cathy, this has been a really fantastic conversation. I'm so glad that we had you on. I hope everybody visits the website, checks it out. We promote this all the time in our morning newsletter, Creating Health, Pharmacist-Led Lifestyle. You've got to check it out. Bree, thank you so much. Dr. Cathy, thank you very much. And everybody, we will see you next month.